Now that we've talked about being in a profession, and Lorraine hit upon her relationship with her husband and how they work through that, how is it that you were able to manage a family and kids, or you know, any relationship that you had while you were going through this? You know, the priorities you put day to day, long term, short term, those sort of things. And let me backtrack just a little bit. So when your parents, I know your father was supportive, and your father was in the Air Force, right? So when your parents find out what you were trying to accomplish, was there any discussion of what are you trying to do? Are you crazy? You know, this is not a profession for women. Did you have any type of a conversation like that? Any of you? I don't know. I know your dad was like, yay. So, no? No?
No.
No.
Well, that's fantastic. So the supportive inner circle, I think, makes a huge difference in how you're brought up, and to feel that secure and that confidence to press on to what you were gonna do. So that's very important. So now that you do have a family, how are you balancing that, and how did you make it work?
Well, my husband's also an airline pilot, and we just put off upgrades and line check airmen and pursuing, you know, maybe being more junior in another piece of equipment that had either better flying or international or wide body or what have you. And we just put our family as a priority, and we both did it. There were times when we didn't see each other because he would fly, I'd be home with the kids. I would fly, he would be home with the kids. But it was a true partnership, as I'm sure everybody enjoys, you know, with household chores, with finances, with childcare, with tasks and dentist appointments and school bake sales and all of those things. It truly was a partnership. And one, I don't think we would have had more, we wouldn't have had four children if we were struggling with that balance. But we kept our family and our kids first. And in hindsight, the upgrades will be there. The line check airman opportunities will be there. And we just waited, and it almost worked out better for us because we were more experienced. We knew what we liked from the captains we flew with, and we were able to maybe be a more effective captain when we finally did take our upgrades. So, and the things did pan out that we were hoping would pan out, line check airmen and flight management and those types of things. But we waited so we would have the schedules that we wanted to address, you know, our family needs, and it worked for us.
Great. And Casey, and your kids are really young. So how, I know your husband's stationed at the academy with you.
Yes. So I have a 6-year-old and a 10-year-old, and we were married in 1999. So we've been married, it'll be 20 years this September. But we waited about 10 years before we had kids, which has been fantastic now that we are in a position to have a little bit more stability. But I think the biggest thing, you know, there's a lot of misconceptions that you can't have a career and a family, especially in the Air Force. And I think, you know, that's not true, but it does take some work. And the other thing we've learned along the way is we're not afraid to ask for help. The saying that it takes a village, it does. Our families have been incredibly supportive. They've been there with us, especially through deployments. I will say that one of the hardest things I've done has been a stay-at-home mom while my husband deployed for a year, while I was working and had very young kids at the time. And I had a lot of help from neighbors to church to just anybody that was willing to help. I was willing to take that help. And so I think sometimes we take on this idea that we have to do it all on our own, and the truth is we don't. And so asking for that help. And just to touch on briefly on the last question you asked about how supportive, you know, is it when you're the only female? And I think the one thing that I will say is that it's nice to have women that have gone before you, because walking into a unit where I was not the first female, I was the only female at the time, but there were women that came before me, and that makes a huge difference. Yes, I was a little bit of an anomaly being the only one at the time, but I wasn't the first. I had role models, and I know she's out here somewhere, General Lovett, to go before me, you know, to kind of set the stage, and it makes it easier for the rest of us. And so I think now we're seeing such a supportive environment across the board. And so my experience has really been tremendously positive.
That's fantastic, you know, and the communication with you and your husband and working as a partnership as well as you. And I don't know the relationships and how your personal life, you know, became part of your professional life or if that interfered for you, Eileen. I don't know if that was...
Yeah, well, I was married when I first came in the Air Force. I think it was not part of what he bought. You know, that wasn't the bargain that he signed up for. So wound up, you know, parting ways there after a few years. And I always assumed that I was going to get married again and have kids. It just never worked out. But I did, you know, I have predominantly, you know, dated men who are also professionals, you know, predominantly military folks, that sort of thing. So I see the Air Force as my family. And I have a lot of very good long-term friendships and relationships.
Right.
But just not something that ever worked out. So yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, last year we had General Harris here, and she again, you know, it didn't work out for her. She kind of. Mm-hmm. And I asked, so it's
yeah,
like,
true.
Can you come
yeah.
here? Can you do this? She's like, no, you know, it doesn't
yeah.
work that way. So,
right.
But yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have a very full life outside of
yes.
work. So yes. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So now I want to talk airplanes now. We got a little mm-hmm. bit of flying. So I know you've flown the Airbus and Boeing, and so have you, Bea. Mm-hmm. So to both of you, any preference? How do you compare those two? What do you like about them or you dislike?
I always said the Airbus was a very civilized airplane. Airbus wanted to make the prospective buyer want their airplane. So they made it quiet, they made you footrests, they made a table so I didn't spill my yogurt on myself. And Boeing just built a solid airplane. They both are great. I love the quietness in the Airbus, but the Boeing's pretty cool too. The 777 is, when I was on the 747-400, we referred to the 777 as the light twin. And we thought we were funny, but it's a pretty nice airplane.
Okay, what about you, Bea?
My favorite airplane was the 747 to fly. It was in your head, it read your mind. You couldn't get a bad landing, really. You got 18 wheels to roll them on, and they're castered, and they just really would make you look good. The bus, on the other hand, is a very genteel, you know, auto trim, side stick, quiet, tray table, creature comforts, doorbell. Just really, really lovely. Love it to have the mission of the 47 with the creature comforts of the Airbus. So I fly the bus now, so that's, you know, you gotta love the one you're with. So I'm gonna have to nudge towards bus for the moment.
Of course. It's all in the present, right?
That's right.
Absolutely. So let me ask you, Eileen, how did you get into writing? I know you're an author. And you published in several publications, and how did that start for you?
So I always wrote a lot when I was, that was one of the things that people would always compliment me on my writing, you know, and it was all technical writing, military writing, that sort of thing. But I always enjoyed writing. I remember in high school I liked, you know, writing essays and things like that. And so I always had this idea that I wanted to write a book, and I assumed it was going to be a technical book. But then as I started thinking more and more about, you know, as I retired and started thinking about what I wanted to do, I started thinking, well, you know, maybe I could write some kind of historical book or something. And I took some, I took some classes online. I went to the University of Washington and did a nonfiction writing certificate program. It was about 9 months long. And mostly I just started writing. And my first piece was that I got accepted for publication was a story about when I was flying in the F-16, in the backseat of the F-16 at Edwards, and this was about 1987. And I was flying on a program called Lantern, and we carried a lot of fuel. And we had about an hour and a half of fuel, which is, a lot for an F-16 because we carried extra fuel. And before we went to take off, we had a dead battery. And so they were fiddling around with the battery and everything. And of course, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, maybe I should run back in and go to the bathroom. It's like, well, yeah, but to do that, I've got to, get out of the airplane, unstrap, get out of the airplane, climb out of the airplane, run across the ramp, take all my gear off, go to the bathroom. It's like a 15-minute process to go to the bathroom. And just as I was thinking about, well, should I do this? Then the crew chief goes, we're ready to go. And so, okay, so we get to the end of the runway. I had to go to the bathroom by the time we got to the end of the runway. So we take off, we're flying around, and we've been flying for like an hour, 20 minutes or something. I'm thinking we're getting ready to go back and beat up the pattern and land. And then all of a sudden, a tanker comes on and says, hey, I'm sitting up here in the refueling track, and I had a cancellation. Anybody want 10,000 pounds of gas? And before I could say anything, I was flying with a lieutenant colonel, and I was a captain. Before I could say anything, this lieutenant colonel goes, sure! And I'm like, no! So we go up and hit the tanker, and I get another 5,000 pounds of gas or something. And we flew around for another hour. I thought I was going to die. So I wrote that story up, and I sent it to Air and Space Magazine. They have this little kind of I was there kind of thing that you, and they took it. I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my gosh. So I established a relationship with an editor, and then I got a few more pieces published. And then from there, I got the idea to write a book, and it just kind of spiraled from there.
So you finished your book.